All righty. Thank you very much, Brother James. Thank you, Brother Chris. And thanks to the Old Colony Line Road Singers for that good song service we had tonight. One thing about good singing is that it'll make you forget bad preaching. There may be bad preaching tonight, but we've already had good singing. Now I want to turn to my favorite psalm, and this has been my favorite psalm for about 38 years. This is Psalms 40. I love this psalm, loved it for many years, studied it intently for about 30, close to 40 years, I'd say. And every time I study it, so much more comes to light. No way I'll get it all. There's no way. Maybe when I'm in heaven, I'll know everything that's being said. I would probably look at least the first three verses of Psalm 40. David writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." So this psalm is about answered prayer. He says, "I waited patient. I waited patient." You know, you can be impatient with me, but we always ought to be patient with the Lord. I've heard preachers say, "Well, you shouldn't pray for patience because the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. So don't pray for patience because you're really praying for tribulations." I don't know where these preachers get their stuff from, but that's not from the Bible. Yes, I know tribulation worketh patience, but that's not the only thing that worketh patience. The Bible says you have need of patience. Now, why shouldn't we pray for something that the Bible says you need? If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. You lack patience, go ahead and pray for it. There's a lot more things in tribulation that worketh patience. Answer prayer. That worketh patience when the Lord has said, "I'll grant you that, and I know that the Lord has done this." That sure makes me a lot more patient in the future. A good sermon makes me patient. A good song service, good fellowship, the old Baptist church, reading the Bible, meditation, God's providence, all that. So seeing and trying to understand the power of God, how can you not be patient? And if you're not patient, then pray for it. If you need it, pray for it. You have not because you ask not. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." He says, "And he inclined unto me." That means he turned toward me. A lot of things going on with the Lord, but that prayer from that one man caught the attention in yonder glory. God turned toward David. You think about that when you pray. Lord inclines, he turns toward you. That's a pretty good place. May I say that's one of the safest places to be? We are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A place that we couldn't go to before, but since our Lord paid our sin debt, and that veil was rent and the mercy seat exposed. The scripture says, "Come boldly. Come on in. You need something, you ask of the Lord. You keep asking. And you keep asking until you're satisfied." Now, some people say, I've heard this. "Well, the Lord's got three answers to every prayer." I've heard this. Yes, no, and not now. Well, I'm glad they've got such a simple relationship with God. Mine's a lot more complicated than that. I've gotten a lot more answers from God than yes, no, and not now. Sometimes I've gotten, "How bad do you want it?" Sometimes I've gotten, "You're crazy for asking me of this." I remember one time I went to the Lord sincerely in prayer. I just dropped off my youngest son off at college on my way to work. Just dropped him off at work, at school. And I was going on my way to work. And I just saw him just going to his classes. Such a man, And I just went to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, bless him. Bless my boy. Bless him to find his way in life. Lord, help me. Help me to know what to do. And do you know, my friends, I've got an immediate answer to that prayer. And it wasn't yes. And it wasn't no. And it wasn't not now. You know what the Lord told me? I want you to concentrate on driving and get to work safely because you're no good to him dead. That's exactly what I got from the Lord. Let's don't try to make the Lord simple. I've heard him give me all kinds of answers to prayer. If we're just patient, wait for it, we'll get the answer. And it will be the right answer, whatever that answer is. If it's no, then that's the right answer. If it's over your eyes and drive because you're on I-37 going toward downtown San Antonio, well, I think that's the right answer to prayer. Incline unto me, he heard my cry. Verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I don't know what David was praying to the Lord. I get the idea that it was something very serious. And I love Psalm 40 because it's told from David's perspective. But as you go into the Psalm, all of a sudden it turns to Christ. And though it's David writing it, it's Jesus speaking it. You read that, the Apostle Paul will confirm that in the book of Hebrews when he takes a verse out of Psalm 40 and applies that. This is Christ speaking. So you get a human being's perspective. Then you go up higher and you see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior's perspective. And you go up higher and you see God the Father answering the prayers, hearing the petitions from his people, even his son. Yes, the Lord, his only begotten son, and answers those prayers. You read Psalm 40, my friend, you can wait patiently unto the Lord. David said, the Lord brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Now, I've studied a little bit about what this is referring to, the pit. This was often used as a form of capital punishment or a form of life imprisonment until you die. Basically, it was a death sentence. They would dig a hole in the ground, dig it deep. Way, way down to the ground, place where clay, and they wet that clay. Y'all ever worked around in clay? I did in college. That stuff just sticks to you, hard to get out of it. They would lower prisoners, convicts, down into this hole in the ground. And as your feet touched that miry clay, you began to sink. You'd struggle to get out of that clay. And the more you struggled, the more you sank. And the more that clay got on you. If you did nothing, you died. If you did something, you died quicker. That was the condition that David felt that he was in. In the book of Jeremiah, they got angry at Jeremiah for one of his prophecies. We read in Jeremiah chapter 38, Verse 4 says, therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakened the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of his people, but the hurt. All right, so they didn't like what Jeremiah said. So they went to the king and said, let's put this man, Jeremiah, to death. We read, then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon, there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. I watched a movie many years ago. It was a German movie. English subtitles. It was about life on a German U-boat. Name of the movie was called Das Boot, or The Boat. And if you're claustrophobic, don't watch this movie, because it's told from a sailor's perspective. It's always at eye level, and you just feel the walls closing in on you. Here you are, thousands of feet below the surface. And all the things that they did to keep that thing running. They attacked the ship, but their torpedoes missed. And so the ship began to release the death charges. There was a man on that who was a journalist writing an article about life on a German U-boat. And you could see the fear in his eyes as those death charges exploded. And the submarine vibrated and shook. And just explosion after explosion. That journalist runs to his bed, to his bunk. He climbs up in it. He covers his face with the blanket, shaking in fear. The last thing you heard is the sailor screaming, "We're sinking!" The next scene. Journalist wakes up. He is asleep. He fell asleep. He looked. Life was normal. People were doing their job. Walks out of it, climbs out of his bunk and wonder. Goes to the mess hall. There's the captain sitting there drinking coffee. He sits down. He looks at the captain with wonder in his eyes. And the captain looks at him. The captain says, so you see, my friend, we didn't die. My beloved, we were sinking in a horrible pit of sin. We were going down, down. The harder we tried to climb out of it, the more we sank. It was impossible for us to get out of it. And then the gospel comes. As they saying tonight, the gospel comes. It comes with welcome news. And the gospel says, you didn't die. You're alive in Christ. Christ got you out of that pit. The gospel didn't get you out of it. The gospel told you about it. You didn't get yourself out of it. You deserve to be there. There's nothing you could do. You needed a great power to come down and carry you out of that pit. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my friends, I know the joy of what the gospel brings in that good news. Some people say, oh, I've been a primitive Baptist since my mother's womb. No, no, you didn't. No, you weren't. You may have been raised in the old Baptist. You may have been carried to the old Baptist when you was a baby. But my friend, you were every one of us is a natural born Arminian. all gravitate in ourselves toward that doctrine. I remember thinking at the age of 7 years old, I'm going to do better. Because if I died, I'm going straight to hell. I was raised Old Baptist. My dad, my granddad, my great granddad were preachers. I know nothing but the Old Baptist, but I still believe you've got to do something. You've got to do something to save yourself. And try as I could never find relief until I heard the gospel. I listened to the gospel. I've been hearing it all my life, but it did not penetrate my heart until the Lord opened that heart and said, listen to this. Listen to this good news. I'll never forget that day. What joy I received when I first believed. I couldn't believe how wonderful salvation by grace is. The relief that I didn't have to do so much to get out of hell, that Jesus bore it all, Jesus paid it all, Jesus did it all. And so that's what the gospel says. You're not dead. You're not going to die. Your body may die, but your soul never dies. Your body will live again. You go to sleep in this life, you'll wake up in glory. Ha! Why? Because of the grace of Almighty God. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. But what else did he do? He set my feet upon a rock. There's no sinking there. That's a firm foundation. That's Christ, the cornerstone. Christ, the rock of ages. Christ, the rock that is higher than I. Christ, the rock where water comes out. Christ, the Ebenezer, the stone of our help. Christ, the rock on which he built his church. Moses said, show me thy glory. Oh, you want to see my glory, Moses? No man can see my face and live, but you still want to see it? Well, there's a rock beside me. How did that rock get there? There's a rock next to the Father. And I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. That rock's been wounded. Something struck that rock. That rock's been hurt. Yes. Yeah. Wounded for our transgressions. I'm going to put you in the cleft of that rock. And I'll hold my hand. You're surrounded by the rock of ages and by the hand of Almighty God. From time to time, he releases that hand, and we can see just a little bit, just a foretaste of the glory of Almighty God. How did Moses get in the rock? God says, I'm going to put you in the rock. Think about that ark. God shut the door. God shut the door. We're preserved. No man can get to us. He's something pretty. 40. Marty has been warned by Chris Krause not to do anything stupid tonight. All right. I got a little choked up. You put my feet upon a rock. You established my going. You set a direction for me. You don't just answer a prayer and got me out of hell. By the way, he didn't get us out of hell because we prayed for it. But aren't you glad that the Lord didn't just save us eternally and said, all right, handle it until I get back? No. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He gives us direction, tells us which way to go. He shows us the old paths and establishes us. It gives us the confidence that this is the right way. Though we don't know maybe what the next step brings, but thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows you the next step. Now, I want it to be a headlight with high beams. No, it's a footlight. You see the next step. Take that next step. Nah, there's light for the next one. There's light for the next one. That's how he establishes our going. Maybe in a still small voice. Maybe in those ways that he answers prayers. Maybe in a sermon. Maybe in a phone call. Maybe on a virtual internet church meeting like we're having right now. God can do that. And he establishes our goings. And those goings are established in his word. It shows us here's the church. This is how you know the church, by the doctrine, by the practice, by the truth that makes you free. You study your Bible. You see what they believe is thus saith the Lord. You're established. Now you know. Now you know the way to go. I've shown it to you. I've given you all this to help you make your way in this world of darkness and uncertainty. And in verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now you're a light unto the world. Now you've got a new song. You had an old song. That old song was, what do I got to do to be saved? What am I going to do? I haven't done enough. How much is enough? There's never enough. That new song is, Jesus paid it all. You read in the book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, the Apostle John, a book is brought out. A book is bound with seven seals. And in that book contains the counsel of God, the will of God, the word of God, God's purposes, God's thoughts toward usward, our names, everything of the wisdom of God is contained in this book. May I say it embodies the revelation of this book that he wrote called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. But the book is sealed. And they look and they make a search, and no man is found worthy to open the seals of this book. You read, there was a strong man, there was an angel, there were 24 elders. None of those were worthy. None of those were worthy. So there's a king there. The king wasn't worthy. Well, Brother David, I thought the king was Christ. Right, yeah, Christ the king was not worthy. Are y'all pay attention to me? Pay very close attention. Christ the king couldn't open the seals of this book. But Christ the Lamb can. They found the Lamb. That's also Jesus. Why was the Lamb worthy? Because he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, that lamb whose sole purpose to come into this world was to die for our sins. And in that death, my friends, the will of God, the counsel of God, our names written are now exposed and revealed. There's revelation. And when that lamb was revealed, verse 6, and John said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and the midst of the other, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the lamb, having each one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I waited patiently unto the Lord, and he heard, inclined toward me and heard my cry. Golden vials full of odors, that's incense. Your prayers are like incense going up to God as a sweet smelling savor. You're represented by those four and 20 elders. And when they saw that lamb, here's what we ought to be doing, my friends. We've got the harps. That's our song. That's our voice. We've got the incense. That's our prayers. But whoa, 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 whoa. Let's put it all together now. When you see that lamb, and every time you see that lamb, you do what these 420 elders did, because that's what we're supposed to do. It says that they sung a new song. They sung a new song. Oh, I wish I knew what that song was. Oh, it tells us, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Look, my friends, you're in a pit. You're sinking. Now you're wrong. Now your goings are established, but now you've got a song to sing. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. That song is always new. It never gets old. And when you're blessed to see him through an eye of faith, worship him. Sing that song. And sing that song all your life. Don't lay your harps on the willows. If you have, go out yonder. Find them. Pick them up. Sing. Sing. You've got a song to sing. It's worthy as the Lamb. You've got a voice that you have that's to give praises to him. It's in your soul. It's within you. Don't focus on the pit. You're not in it anymore. Focus on right here. Right now, this is what we're doing. As I'm establishing my going, and I'm going down that road, I'm singing this new song. And my friends, I'll sing it up yonder in glory too. When I see him face to face, whew, man, I'm finally going to sing on key. When I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Psalms 40, it just keeps getting better, keeps getting better. This is just the introduction to it. Now, in about 3 more months, when Brother James asked me to preach here again, maybe, hopefully, I don't know. If he feels so spiritually inclined, maybe I'll take it up again. Maybe not. We'll see. But my friends, I love this psalm, and I love y'all, and thank the Lord for this opportunity to preach and to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Come ahead, Brother James.